Blog Talk Radio.
This land is mine. God gave this land to me. This brave and ancient land to me. And when the morning sun reveals the hills and plains, then I see a land where children can run free. So take my hand.
Central to our calling, which is to call Yisrael home. The last Exodus was out of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is the plural of Mitzar, and it means to question, to ponder the implications of being troubled, of being afflicted, of being oppressed, and of being curtailed in a hostile fashion. And so it speaks of religious and political oppression. This current Exodus that Yahweh has asked us to call his people from is from Babylon. It is why Yirmiyah ends his prophecies by speaking on behalf of Yahweh, calling Yisrael out of Babylon. And so the Exodus song speaks to those things, and it is so vital for Israel to hear, but it isn't as vital as doing the things that your song does, which is proudly pronounce Yahweh's name, because that is the first step in coming home for Yehudim, for Yisrael, for anyone. You can't even begin the process until you come to know Yahweh's name. The other aspect of it, of course, is that 23 years ago, Yahweh asked us to herald this message, that is the herald song. It speaks of our calling, which is to awaken Yisrael, Yehudim, to the realization that it is their king, their Messiah, their Savior, our king, our Messiah, because we are part of the covenant family, who is returning. And he is returning soon. His return is just 9 years away. As we speak, it will be on Yom Kippurim in year 6000 Yah, the 120th Yovel, which is sunset, 6:22 p.m., October 2nd, 2033. Of course, there's a great deal that's going to happen between now and then, including the largest of the harvest, the fourth Mikre, will be fulfilled, and that is Shavuah. It is a harvest of standing grain. Yahweh speaks of it as wheat, plural. There are two loaves of bread. This is very significant because it means that this particular harvest will be of covenant members, whether they be Israelites, Yehudim, or Goyim. And as we now know within the covenant family that has developed over these last 23 years that we've been conveying Yahweh's name and his message, communicating what God is offering and expecting in return, the five conditions of participating in the covenant and how they are enabled through the fulfillment of the Moed Mikra, the invitations to meet with God. Barely even numbers between Gentiles and Yehudim. So it is appropriate that the Shavuah harvest will be next. Just 7 years prior to Yahweh's return, it will occur on May 22nd, 2026. The next fulfillment of the Mikra will be Teruah. Teruah is going to be in year 2033. So it will be September 25th of 2033, year 6000, just 10 days prior to those returning, the Messiah returning with Yahweh. So there is indeed a great deal that is going to transpire. Of course, the 10-year reunion of October 7th, 2023 will be October 7th, 2033. Which is the first day of Sukkah, of camping out with God, where the earth is returned to the conditions experienced in Eden. Although that means that there will be no one who is religious, no one who is overtly political. The two warring sides of the house divided of Israel, progressives on one side and the Orthodox religious on the other, they will both be excluded from this return. There will be many Yehudim, there will be many Israelites, but they will be among those who are neither political nor religious. So that is the time frame as we go forward. There were some really haunting messages in the news this week, and two of them were interviews and editorials written by two of the women who were young women, late teens, I think, in both cases, very pretty young ladies that were abducted by Muslims. Everybody wants to blame Hamas, but they're simply a symptom of the greater problem, which is Islam. And they spoke about being forced to wear the hijab, the Islamic way of degrading women, and being forced to recite Islamic prayers. They were physically abused and they were sexually abused. These are things that the Quran authorizes. These are things that Muhammad did and encouraged. This is why the problem is Islam. It is not Hamas. And that's what these young ladies were subjected to. There are additional songs. One that I heard for the first time today that I think is already posted on the Yada Yah YouTube account, also on Yada Yah and Yada Yah with Rumble, that you can link to from the now the homepage of YadaYah.com and community, that was inspired by a young woman who was abused in this way. It is it's another tearjerk, but it's a song that needs to be sung. You will find on the Rumble page, Terror Is Coming, which is a very powerful, long video, about 15 minutes long, about what happened on October 7th and how it was perpetrated by Muslims, that Hamas is just part of the problem and simply a symptom of the larger problem of Islam. And I say that knowing the religion better than anyone in Israel, probably as well, if not better than anyone in the world, having written 825-page books where I translated the entire Quran, set it into the context of Muhammad's life, and then did a running commentary on what we can learn based upon what he did and said. And it is easily the most dehumanizing, deadly religion ever conceived. It is a terrorist manifesto. Islam is a death cult. All good Muslims are terrorists. These are irrefutable conclusions that would be drawn by anybody who reads the Quran. Islam is incompatible with humanity. It manufactures psychopaths.
Right.
And there is no hope for anyone in an Islamic community to turn out any different. And that's one of the things that became apparent as these young ladies told their stories, because what they made very clear is that when they were being beaten as they were being abducted and paraded through the streets, there were no civilians. All of the Muslims were cheering. And as they were held in captivity, the Muslims would degrade them and curse them. There are no civilians in this cause. The perpetrators are Muslims.
Right.
And they're incompatible with humanity. The other thing that was so gripping about their story is they would thought that, you know, if they were ever released, that they would be released into loving arms, appreciated for the ordeal that they were put through for no fault of their own by these savages, inhuman tormentors, terrorists, good Muslims, bad people. And what they found is the world ablaze and Muslims and progressives condemning Israel, the victim, and flying flags and praising the perpetrators. Worldwide, look at the outside of the Democratic Convention, and they didn't actually wanted to speak at the convention, and goddamn Biden actually said, you know, you got a point, you got a real point there.
As
claiming that they want to perpetrate genocide against Jews and claiming that they're the victims when they perpetrated the most horrendous act that the world has witnessed in 2,000 years. These are far more savage acts than even took place in the Holocaust. Yes, the numbers are greater in the Holocaust. But not the savagery. The savagery here was grossly excessive of that. Watch Terror Is Coming. You want absolute proof. And so it is sickening to me to watch progressives fan the flames of Israel's demise, legitimizing these barbarian savages torturing, mutilating, incinerating, abducting, raping Jewish men, women, and children.
Right.
Siding with Islam, which has been disgusting in its approach to all forms of freedom, including women's rights. Shame on you, progressives. And shame on you, liberal cities that allow this kind of thing. Here at the Democratic Convention, the progressive mayor wouldn't allow the Jews to march in the streets. But they sure did and gave every favor to the Muslims. And then had the audacity to report that they were pro-Palestinian. There is no such thing as a Palestinian. Shed your stupid ignorance. They're pro-genocide. They hate Jews. Notion that it'll all be solved with the two-state solution is utter nonsense. The Muslims don't want two states. They want one, carved out of the heart of Israel. If you were to give Muslims a state, it would be a staging ground for Iran to destroy Israel. And nothing less than that. And here I read in the Jerusalem Post, which is a progressive piece of trash, that Sisi and Biden have agreed that Israel needs to be flexible as it relates to these negotiations. It's another way of saying they need to leave the Philadelphian corridor, the border of Gaza and Egypt, so that Hamas can move back and forth, as well as Islamic Jihad and all of the Muslims can rearm themselves. Why would you be dictating anything to Israel? They were attacked. It's their sons and daughters, their fathers and mothers, their children, who are being held hostage, who were kidnapped by these Muslim savages. Why would you dictate anything to Israel? As if both sides need to be more flexible. No, they don't. Israel has not only every right to defend itself and to destroy these savages, and it doesn't matter how many people die, because this is the culture that caused that to happen. They celebrated it. They're responsible for it. They ran back with the hostages to this community. When the six dead Israelis were recently captured and returned by the IDF, they had one common denominator among them. They were assassinated. They were shot. These aren't people. They have no right to exist. Not only do they have no right to a state, they have no right to exist. And until you understand the evil that is Islam, until you have read the five volumes of Goddamn Religion, please, just be quiet and don't embarrass yourself. This is the real reality that we find ourselves in. So I would encourage you to go to yadayah.com, click on the community, follow that lead to either the social media or to the Rumble or YouTube channels of Yadayah. Listen to the many movies that are there, but particularly these new songs that have just been posted, as well as, which are gripping. And they're so much more powerful when you can see the lyrics displayed behind them and the visuals that have been created for these songs. It is, it's a wonderful experience, but a wonderful way to celebrate this anticipated reunion between Yisrael and God's people. And that Yahweh represents the only way to protect God's people from what's coming. It is germane for me to remind Yisrael that the next phase of what they endured on October 7th is going to be at the very least 100 times worse, both in aerial bombardments and in the number of militants and the macabre behavior they display. Could be 1,000 times. And I think it's likely that the 150 or so Hezbollah terrorists will be joined by what is in the range of about 2 million young jihadi-aged men that have self-identified as a Palestinian. And they will come from Jordan and from Syria and from Judea and Samaria, and again from Gaza. And there will be some Egyptians and some Syrians and some Jordanians and, of course, some other Lebanese. And the Iranian military numbers in the range of 400,000. The Turkish military ranges in about the same number. It could be 1,000 times, but it will at least be 100 times worse. And that attack, I think the most likely date for that attack is in June of 2027, about a year after Israel is forced to surrender its heart on a plate to award Muslims a state of terror, as far as out of their midst. So it is recognizing this that we continue to go through the revelations of the prophet Joel, because he spoke of all of this, and he spoke of what the alternative was. Because while Yisrael and Yehudim have been anti-God for a long time, I saw a video this evening of the Haredim, little boy weasels, children, dressed up in their morning suit with their little curly cues, wallowing on the ground and just being a nuisance, screaming because they don't have the backbone to defend themselves or Israel. Teenage girls will go in and fight to defend Israel. Teenagers are raped by Muslims. And these pieces of worthless trash, these Orthodox Jews, these Haredim, all they're good for is their curly cues. Arms about the size of my little finger. What an absolute disgrace. And the worst part of them is not just that they're complete and utter parasites, completely useless human beings, is that they disperse the name and the Torah of our God. They claim that they are Torah observant, and they know nothing of the Torah. They are Talmud toters.
Right.
Absolutely. They are controlled completely by the rabbis. And they don't know 1/1,000,000th of the Torah that I do.
Right. That's a fact.
So they give the Torah a bad name by mentioning it, and they talk about their G-D and Hashem. They got no clue who Yahweh is. And I can tell you, there is no one on the planet that God despises more than those priests. Yes, he will incinerate all of the Muslims in that final battle to come against Israel. Good riddance. And all of the rest of the that have supported.
Yeah, I watched some clips recently of the rabbis, and they are so anti-Israel, they hate Israel. They don't want to contribute to their existence. They hate the Torah.
Yep,
they hate Jews.
They do. And they hate Yahweh.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's Israel.
Yeah.
God hates them.
Yep.
And it's easy to see why. So with that introduction, and I'm sure that's surprising for listeners, that you should know that Yahweh is exceedingly anti-religious. Throughout the Torah, the thing that God continually rails against is the propensity of Jews to be religious. And they are irascible. They're disgusting. They're revolting, the children of Israel, throughout the entire Exodus process. And they don't get any better in the Promised Land. They easily the most rebellious and nasty people as it relates to God or Jews. And it's obvious. That's the number one theme throughout the prophets and the Torah. So I'm not saying something that shouldn't be obvious to everyone.
Right.
And after 3,500 years of spitting in God's face, stop it already. Disassociate from Judaism. Disassociate from progressive politics, which is mega politics.
Stop it. Done to you. You've been a house divided for 3,500 years, and it's not just that you're at each other, which is why so many bad things have happened to you over the years, is you've been a house divided, and no more or less so than you are today, with the progressives and marching against the government, pretending that they're marching in favor of the hostages, which is utter nonsense. They're just co-opting that message to try to bring down the government they don't like because all they care about is progressive ideology.
Yep.
God hates progressive ideology, and he hates the religion. So both sides of this house divided, he despises, and you've been a house divided like this for 3,500 years. Stop it already. It's not working for you. It's never going to work for you. And you're not just divided among yourselves. You are currently irreparably divided from Yahweh. And the only way to resolve that is to stop being religious and political. To do what Abraham did, to walk away from Babylon. To do what Jeremiah said, disassociate from Babylon, my people. To do what Moshe did. He was in Mitzrayim. He left. Until you understand that is the theme of the Torah and prophets, don't be religious, and while you're religious and you're political, I will have nothing to do with you. Once you stop and you seek me honestly, beginning with acknowledging my name, acknowledging what I'm offering through the covenant and through the Moed Mikre, and embrace those things, we won't speak. I will not listen to you. I'll have nothing to do with you. As a matter of fact, it is because Jews have been so antagonistic towards God for virtually all of the last 3,500 years. There have been very, very few, very brief interludes. One with Dode, very briefly, because most of Dode's reign was antagonistic towards God. Not Dode, but the people of Israel. And a very brief time with Hezekiah, and not even all of Hezekiah's time, but a very brief time when Hezekiah had his back against the wall. It's very much like what Israel is going to face with the next onslaught of Muslims. And Hezekiah found an old copy of the Torah in the temple, dusted it off and read it and said, "Holy crap, we're religious."
Yeah, he did.
The very thing God said he can't be. We're in this fix because we're religious. And he sent out everybody to destroy every religious relic, every trace of religion, and all of Yehudah. And then once he did that, then he said, okay, now let's study how we're going to celebrate Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim. They're approaching. And he went to the Lori, and they were clueless. Just like the Haredim today. They didn't know the Torah. They were clueless.
Right.
Like they were out being religious. And he says, went to God and said, I can't do this in the amount of time necessary. I know we need to do this. I'm trying my best. I need more time. That's it. You have it. Educated the Lori on the Torah. They started to explain it to people. All traces of religion were removed. And once they began celebrating Pesach, Matzah, and Bikurim as they were intended, 185,000 Assyrians that had come to destroy them were destroyed instead. You want Yahweh to take away the Islamic threat? To turn to the Torah. Start celebrating the Moed Mikre as they were intended. Stop being religious. Stop being political. That's the answer.
Right.
And so what we have found, that because those were the only two episodes and there are none other, and because Jews, whether they be secular or religious, have no idea who their Messiah is. They have no idea who their king is. They have no idea who their shepherd is. They have no idea who their savior is. They have no idea that there actually was the Son of God and that he is returning. And he's the Messiah. And he's the Zeruah, which is the sacrificial lamb. He fulfilled the first three Mikre, including serving as the Passover lamb. He figured it out. He committed to do the right thing for his people, and his people sit in his face. Change it. And that's the conditions that we found when Yahweh called us to do this job. And if he had not engaged us and enabled us to do this job, there wouldn't be a single Jew to this day who knew Yahweh, who was engaged in the covenant, who was observing the Moed Mikra as they were designed, who recognized that Dod, David, the Messiah and Son of God, fulfilled them. Not one. Which means there would be no one at the Teruah harvest, because there weren't any Gentiles either. What is a harvest without fruit? There'd be no one at Teruah. And you can't have a homecoming without anybody coming home. That was an exceedingly important mission that Yahweh asked us to fulfill. And it was so important to him, and the pickings were so slim on who was willing to listen to him and engage, i.e., one person, and he had no qualifications. Yahweh fortified this entire effort by allotting all seven spirits of Yah to make this possible. And as we move forward in Yoel, in the second chapter, we're going to find God speaking of what he is doing through this individual, because he represents the last and best hope for a harvest, for a homecoming. Not because he's special, but because the message that he's conveying is. I'm going to return at Yoel 2:13. So tear away and disassociate your hearts and minds. Wa'kala lebab atah. And without your deceitful and treacherous garments, return to Yahweh, your God. For indeed, he is compassionate and merciful. Shonun. He is long-suffering and patient, slow to anger, a rakaf, abounding in steadfast and loyal love, warav kefet. And he will provide reassurance and encouragement during this malevolent and miserable ordeal. What is coming, Israel, is even worse than what you're currently enduring. And right now, Jews have a lower standing in this world than they did in the 1920s and 1930s and 1940s in Europe. And you know what happens then.
Yeah.
I don't want to say that the disparagement of Jews is entirely based upon Muslims, because it isn't. You know that by a margin of 2-1 now, Christians are progressives over conservatives? By a margin of 2-1. Christian progressives have made the Islamic uprisings across the United States and Europe possible. And so it is the haunting legacy of the two demon-possessed messengers of God, Muhammad and Paul before him. And of course it is also Akiba, because Akiba countered the false messiah of Christianity with a false messiah of his own, which is where you get the star, because it was Simon Bar Kokhba, son of a star, that he rose up and acclaimed, which brought the full force of Rome down again for a third time against the province of Judea and led directly to the diaspora. That's the father of Judaism. Congratulations. If you practice Judaism, that would make you stupid. And Jews should not be stupid. There's no excuse for them being that stupid. But this miserable ordeal that God said is coming for the same reason that Jews have been harassed for the past 3,500 years. That made it really clear. You can either come to know and understand and respond favorably to what I am offering, or you can be cursed as people. You will find that people will treat you in a very harmful way.
Mm-hmm.
And the most miserable ordeal that has ever been experienced in world history is coming. More Jews will die than were killed during the Holocaust. But they won't be killed humanely in the sense of they won't be gassed. They'll be mutilated. They'll be raped. They will be dismembered. They will be hauled around and kicked and spit at. I don't want this to happen. I'm telling you it's going to happen. And to a large extent, it's happening because Jews continue to be a house divided, not only among themselves with progressives and the Haredim, the ultra-Orthodox, but also against your God. So God's advice is to tear away and disassociate your hearts and minds. Kara, in this case, is with an ain rather than the more familiar aleph. And we'll talk a moment about what that means. And without your deceitful and treacherous garments, wa al-bagad. I don't think there's anything that has ever been worn that is more treacherous.
Right.
Traitorous to God than the black mourning suits of the Haredim.
Agreed. Yeah.
God says, throw them away. You could throw away the Haredim along with them and wouldn't bother God any either. The next bit of advice is to return to Yahweh. Doesn't say return to Hashem. You can't return to Hashem because there is no Hashem. Doesn't say return to the Lord. The Lord is Satan. It doesn't say return to G-G either. Return to Yahweh, your Elohim, Almighty God. You can't return to Yahweh until you come to know Yahweh. And that begins with acknowledging his name. Not hard to pronounce. Never been hard to pronounce. Comprised of four vowels. Yod-Heh, Wah-Heh. Want to know how to pronounce the Y? It's pronounced exactly as you would pronounce it in English. English is a legacy language of Hebrew. Yisrael would tell you how to pronounce it. Yashayah would tell you how to pronounce it. Haya, the verb upon which it is based, would tell you how to pronounce it.
Haya, the verb based. The name is based. Would also tell you how to pronounce the hey.
Right.
Both of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's not hard.
The wa,
why don't you look and see how Torah is spelled? Why don't you look and see how Shalom is spelled?
Take a moment.
Look at Hebrew and check out how Torah and Shalom, or Eloah for that matter, are spelled. And then you figure out how to pronounce the wa.
Mm-hmm.
Not difficult. And yet, after 3,500 years of silence, who was the first person to explain to the world, this is Yahweh's name. This is how to pronounce it, and this is why it is pronounced that way. For indeed, he is compassionate and merciful and long-suffering and patient and slow to anger and abounding and steadfast and loyal love. Thank goodness. I've been doing this now 23 years, and most members of our covenant family team have been with me for anywhere from 10 to 12,
mm-hmm.
14, 15 of those years. And we are far from perfect. We stumble and we trip on our tongue from time to time. We make mistakes. We go back and correct them. We even sometimes bang heads with one another. We're a long way from perfect, and yet Yahweh loves us. He's compassionate.
We're united by a common goal.
Yes, and by a God who is patient with us, who is kind to us, who is merciful, and who is abounding in steadfastness and love. And so he is the only source of reassurance and encouragement in this time of trouble. In that movie called Terror is Coming, that Dee has poured so much energy into, there are many references to Yahweh through it. And the reason that they exist is because, well, what Muslims did to Israel and what Muslims are going to do to Israel and what Muslims are celebrating worldwide that they have done to Israel is horrific. There is the one way to keep yourself from it, and that's a personal Hezekiah approach.
Yeah.
Return to the Torah.
So that was the goal. That was the goal, yeah. Because, you know, that's the only way to prevent this from happening the next time that it is the worst. But it's, you know, it's kind of like what you said earlier, not writing off the pain of Israel, trying to prevent what's going to come next by giving them a way out.
Yeah, I want to be a little bit careful. We are way too late. We are going to reach way too few people for us to be able to prevent what's coming. 5 volumes, 4,100 pages of goddamn religion. If every Jew worldwide were to read it, then yes, the assault that is coming, the 100 to 1,000 times September or October 7th, would be stopped. There would be a quarantine of Muslims. They would be quarantined. All Muslims would be sent to Islamic countries. There would be no trade with them whatsoever. There'd be no migration from Islamic countries. They'd all be sent back there. It would be like quarantining a deadly virus, like the bubonic plague, because it is that deadly. And if every Jew read it, Prophet of Doom, all 5 volumes, and acted accordingly, that's what would happen, and there would be no tenfold, 100-fold, 1,000-fold of October 7th. But they aren't, so they will. Second, it's not enough to know that Islam is your enemy and that they have declared war on you and it's the intent of Islam to perpetrate genocide against Jews and that Muhammad did that in Arabia. You also have to go the next step. It's not just disassociating from and being completely set apart from the stigma and stain stench of religion. You have to come to know Yahweh, be part of his covenant family, and attend the Moed Mikre as they are intended. So it is both. If millions of Jews did both, yes, it would not occur. It would be just like Hezekiah. Same exact experience. But that's not going to happen. We were not called to get all of Israel, religious Israel, the progressives, and the Haredim, ultra-Orthodox, we were not called to awaken them, to reach them, to save them. It's not possible. Evidence and reason will not appeal to them. And so there is no chance that we're going to reach enough people and the time we have remaining to prevent these things from happening. They will happen. The difference is that if you are listening to this program and you choose to shed your ignorance, you come to know how deceitful the replacement schoolology of Christianity has been and what it deprived you of knowing the Son of God and your Messiah that is your Savior does. Hoisting a caricature of a man-god on the world. That once you come to know how deceitful Christianity has been and what it has cost Jews, the consequence has been to Jews, how deceitful Islam is and how deadly it is, and you are willing to oppose it, and you come to understand that the greatest harm that has ever been done to Israel is through Judaism. Once you have done those things, and then you come to know Yahweh, and you read the books, 33 of them now on the shelf at yadayah.com. Read them. It's not enough just to listen to these programs. You need to read them. Start at An Introduction to God in Volume 1, Book 1. Go all the way through. Yes, it may look daunting. Big deal. You're talking about forever with your soul.
You know, yeah.
If I could dedicate 23 years of my life, 12 to 14 days, hours a day, 6 to 7 days a week, for 23 years to write them, and I'm offering them free, it's the least you can do to read them if you want to be part of God's family and spared from all of this. And you can individually be spared. That's what this says. He will provide reassurance and encouragement during this malevolent and miserable ordeal. The malevolent and miserable ordeal that is being perpetrated by progressives and Muslims is going to occur. We can't stop it. But you don't have to be a victim of it. You can spare your soul and the souls of those you love if you take the time, if you invest the time to read those 33 books sitting on the shelf of Yadi. In fact, I wouldn't even read them once. I'd read them, some of them, two and three and four times to the point that you own the material. That you can go to your fellow Israelites and share what you've learned with them from the heart because you know it. As I said before, the Kara, which was translated to sever, was scribed with an N. And that's unique because the Kara that became Mikra, the basis of the seven invitations to be called out and meet with God each year, is based on the verb kara. And the verb kara with an LF is as important as any verb in the Hebrew language. It means to invite, to summon, to meet, to welcome, to call out, to read and recite. Well, this kara with an N rather than the out means to sever. And knowing that, God is asking his people to disassociate themselves from the troubling sadness that is engulfing the world as a result of religion, Christianity, Islam, Judaism, and of politics. Whether it be progressive politics, which is the greatest enemy of Jews now, conspiratorial right-wing politics, which has long been a enemy of God's people. That's what he's asking you to do. And just as the covenant members must leave the overtly religious and political behind, the militant and conspiratorial must disavow all religious apparel. Stop it with the religious dress-up. Don't pretend that you're Torah observant because you have little curly cues. There's no instruction in the Torah to wear curly cues. You disgrace the symbolism of the tzitzit to wear it as it is being worn, particularly when you're walking in the streets and you won't defend the nation, and yet teenage girls will go out and do the job you are too afraid, too weak to do. Oh my God, am I such a woman? Can you imagine? I might have to hear her sing, oh God, forbid.
Yeah.
I might eat ice cream with a hamburger. Oh my God, can you imagine the difference at all? Just think, I might have to do something on the Shabbat. Oh, I'm crying.
They might comb their hair on the Shabbat, oh no.
Oh.
A bunch of weasels.
Yeah.
You have no right to call yourself Jews. You are a disgrace to the ethnicity. Humankind has been malevolent. It's none worse than Muslims, of course, led by Muhammad and beguiled by his Quran, but we should never forget how horribly Christians have treated Jews. Rabbis have also set a high bar when it comes to being controlling. And so it is from them that God is emancipating his children at this time and today. No group is as detrimental to Israel and Jews as our progressives. Throughout the Torah and Navi, Yahweh is emphatic about three requests. He wants Israel to listen, to disassociate from religion, and return to him. And it is in that order. When they eventually do, they will be surprised to find that God is approachable. He's lovable. He's reassuring. He does not want you to bow down to him. He doesn't want you to bob your heads up and down like you're a knucklehead in prayer. He doesn't want you to pray to him. He most certainly doesn't want you to worship him. He doesn't want you to fear him. But he does want you to know his name. He does want you to identify with him as a father and not as a lord and master. Come to know him as he is. He's very approachable and exceedingly likable, so long as you're not religious and political. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought, but it's true. The greatest crimes that can be committed as they offend God are being religious and political. So, Moshe. He committed, at the very least, manslaughter. Yeah, I would love him. Don't. Yeah, he oversaw the death of a very fine man because he coveted his wife. And there's no one that Yahweh would love more than Don't. It isn't the behaviors that we get all tied up about that cause people to be estranged from God. It's religion. And politics that estrange humankind from God. Throughout the Torah and Navi, the teaching and prophets, Yahweh is emphatic about these requests. So it bears repeating. Listen to Yahweh. Disassociate from religion and return home. Truth be known, the chosen people have seldom chosen God. Over the past, actually 4,000 years, I've been using 3,500 because that's how long ago the Exodus occurred, where Jews were so miserable towards God. But they actually started off miserable to God about 500 years earlier. You know, Abraham did some awful things. So did Jacob. And so did Jacob's sons.
Mm-hmm.
It hasn't been pretty. The Israelites have been irascible, far more antagonistic towards God than loving. And that's by a billion to one. And their attitude has worsened over time. It's hard to fathom. Because they were absolutely obnoxious during the Exodus. Now, I share this because the enormity of the problem that it poses for Yahweh. There are 7 Moed Mikre, 4 beyond the 3 that have already been fulfilled by the Messiah and Son of God, the Chosen One, the Firstborn. God. When Yahweh demonstrated the purpose of Pesach, Masa, and Bikurim at the inception of the Exodus, which is a Yassa, from Mitzrayim, the crucibles of religious and political oppression,
and then explained them in his Torah teaching and guidance. It was with the anticipation that he would honor those promises. Similarly, when Job fulfilled the first three invitations to be called out and meet with God, in year 4000 Yah, as was foretold, it was to enable the Shavuah and Teruah harvest in the expectation of returning on Kippurim, all to enjoy Sukkah, fellow Israelites. But if there isn't anyone who knows Yahweh's name, if there's no one who knows Dod's role in fulfilling these mikrei, the purpose of the Moedim, when and how are they going to receive the benefits of the Bereth? Everything Dod and Yahweh have done is for naught. It has no value whatsoever that Dod made the sacrifice as the Pesach El to extend our lives, or that his soul carried our guilt, religious and political, into Sheol to deposit it there, never to be seen again, to make us appear perfect in God's eyes, so that on Bukurim he became the firstborn of firstborn children, so that we could all participate and benefit from the covenant. It's all for naught, including the Shavuah and Teruah harvest, as well as the homecoming, if there's no one to capitalize. There's no one who is willing to acknowledge that these things have occurred and that they are going to be fulfilled in short order. While father and son explained what was going to occur 7 to 14 centuries before any of it transpired, since Yisrael was lost and Yehudim weren't listening, there would have been no beneficiaries. Nothing would have changed in 3,500 years. And there isn't much point to harvesting nothing or attending a family reunion without a family. That's why this is important. That's why we're so devoted as a family. We're going to do everything we can to shake some sense into Yisrael and Yehudim so that they do participate in the Shavuah harvest and the Teruah gleaning and the Yom Kippurim homecoming. It is the least we can do for Yahweh, for Dod, and for their people. The chosen people have chosen to go it alone. And they haven't been faring very well. Nor has anyone else, by not recognizing that the mikre were fulfilled. Humans apart from God have actually come within a decade of destroying the earth.
Yeah.
We're going to all but depopulate the planet. And it's all lined up. The United States has been the major factor in dividing the world into opposing sides, with Iran, Russia, and China on one side, and the United States, Europe, and the Sunni Muslims on the other. It's a world divided with nuclear bombs. Israel will come within a wisp of being eliminated. Jews will nearly be annihilated. This is your only option out. And it's all going to occur without Yahweh's intervention. He will intervene finally, but it won't be until October 2nd of 2033 on Yom Kippurim, and only on behalf of those Yehudim who are waiting for him there in anticipation of seeing Dod alongside Yahweh. But why bother if your God
if there are no beneficiaries, the one to save. If these concerns weren't bad enough, there is another. God can't lie. He promised to reconcile the covenant relationship with Yisrael. But even he cannot do that alone. Relationships require a very substantial degree of mutuality. Opted out. Not all. Probably 1,000 Jews who are now part of the covenant family because of what Yahweh has done through us. But Yahweh had to find, enable, and to deploy a goy to announce the way home, because there were no Jews willing to listen. With nothing having changed over the past 4 millennia, without a single Israelite engaging with Yahweh over that time, based upon his guidance, had God not intervened in this particular case by choosing and equipping a final witness, apart from Israel, there would have been no one to harvest on Shavuot or Teruah, to reconcile and return to on Kippurim, or to camp out with on Sukkah. The entire human experience would be for naught. There would have been no reason to expect that a single Yehud would have anticipated Yahweh's return with his son, understood why it was going to occur, when it was going to occur, or to whom they were coming. And if you are misguided and think, well, sure, Yahweh could just speak directly to us, make a big announcement, maybe buy some billboards, internet apps, use social media. I understand that X will actually allow God to say what he wants to say without shutting him down with the thought police. But unfortunately, Israel, you asked God never to speak to you again. He did it right to his face. He said you never wanted to see him or hear from him again. God heard what you said, and he agreed with you. He would only speak to you through someone. And today that someone is speaking to you right now. So to prevent nullifying the human experiment, the intent of creation, the purpose of the Torah, the potential of the covenant, and of course the benefit of those sacrifices, Yahweh instituted Plan B for Bashar, human herald. Plan C for Choder, secondary branch. This one going off of the tree of knowledge. Plan E for Ed, restoring witness. Plan M for Malak, messenger. Plan N for Nakri, observant foreigner. And Plan Z for Zeroa, one planting the seeds, which will take root and grow into the final harvest. With a G for Goy, a non-Israelite, to give Plan Q, called voice to his prophetic testimony. There are none of those titles that is prestigious. They're all working titles. They're all very descriptive of a mission, of an intent that God would work through this individual bearing those titles to awaken his people and bring them home. This man that Yahweh has promised to do all of this with, and he is mentioned throughout the Torah and prophets, second only to Dod himself, because he serves as Dod's herald, the one who finally is making the truth known about what Dod has done. prior to his return as king.
He began writing Yada Yahweh as Yada
23 years ago for this very reason. Based upon what he would come to Yada know and Yada understand, he would reintroduce Yahweh's name to Yisrael, acquaint Yehudim with God. Do you know that Yahweh's name, based on the verb Haya, speaking of verbs, Kirk, the other co-host of this program, he's out on the town this evening on some kind of a soiree. But Kirk has completed his glossary. The verbs are now up on the resources page at yadayah.com, thanks to the women of the covenant who have taken what he did on paper. Kirk is an artist and very analog. And so it is the women of the covenant who have worked to present that online. He has now finished also the nouns, but that's about 4 inches of paper that needs to still be transferred into a digital form. And so we have more mothering of the glossary to come.
Mm-hmm.
But it is the place where we can learn both the verbs and the nouns of Hebrew to better understand God's message to us. So based upon what Yada would come to know, he would reintroduce Yahweh's name, which is based on the verb Haya. It means that he exists, that he is. To Yisrael, which has a dark and light side. It's either those who are antagonistic to, who wrestle and struggle with the Almighty, which is most of Israel, or the very few, including Goyim, who embrace the other meaning of Yisrael. It's based on Sarah's name. She is the sweetheart of the covenant. Yis is individual. Sarah would mean to engage and endure. With El God, Yisrael. And to reacquaint Yehudim, Yehud is beloved of Yah. With Dod, which means beloved, upon which the name is derived. Explain the Torah, which is based on the verb Yara, which means source of instruction, direction, teaching, and guidance. That they had forgotten. And reminds them of the mikra, which is plural for mikra, based on the verb para, which means invitations to be called out and meet, to be welcomed into God's loving family. Well, it is all about Yada knowing. It has nothing to do with Yada as the individual, other than he is the first to come to know these things and has devoted his life to sharing them. The man named after the crag that was set ablaze to enlighten our world would not have been noticed, much less prevailed, if not for what Yahweh would do with him. But isn't this also true of Adam, of Noah, of Abraham, of Sarah, of Yitzhak, of Rivka, of Jacob, of Leah, and Rachel, and especially of Moshe, and Dod, even Hosha, Yashayah, Yirmiyah, Zachariah, Malachi, and now Yoel?
Yeah.
And since the first 10 people on this list of exemplary characters in God's story were other than Israelites, why wouldn't Yahweh return to where he began with only 10 years remaining? Do you think it is perchance that Yahweh revealed through Yahshua that
he would ensure Yada's effectiveness by assigning his seven spirits to him, doing what he had never done previously. Why do you suppose that God inspired Moshe to introduce the Zoroah and then asked Shlomo, Dod's son, to explain his purpose to Yisrael at the very time of his commencement speech on the Mount for the completion of the covenant home? The last time all of Yisrael was united. That's when the Sermon on the Mount spoke of the Nakri, this observant foreigner. Why do you suppose Yahshua devotes so much attention to him? In fact, this mission that we are fulfilling receives more attention in Yahshua than even does the most beloved of Yah, Dod. Why? Because this is the way of acknowledging Dod. Now, we're not in Dod's league. No one is. But no one even knows that Dod has a league. If we don't do the job.
That's true. Yeah.
Is it perchance that once educated and enabled, Yada would serve to awaken the chosen people so that they would finally make the right choice? Do you think they're called the chosen people because some will actually choose Yada? As he explained to Moshe, having designed us, Yahweh knows how to succeed through us. All that is required of us is to be willing to go where his directions lead. Dee, you're a very bright young woman. And yet, think of the contributions that you have made to the covenant and to conveying Yah's message. I don't think that's all independent.
Oh, and hardly. I'm not that smart.
You're part of a community of women. My wife among mm-hmm. them. Of course, our beloved Jackie. Molly is hugely important in this regard. And now Mary, there are many who are vital
yes.
to what we are doing.
Yes.
And of course, men as well. Our beloved Kirk, Mike, JK, David, and what he has done with the website. And we've even got my almost lifetime friend, Joe, re-engaged and helping us convey the
We have a lot of new people. You know, Lisa, Bastion, Leanne Bastion.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Mary Chris. And everybody is really pulling together. It's amazing.
Yes. And so, while I'm obviously the least impressive of the three Zoroah, sort of an understatement, isn't it? Since the list includes Moshe and Dod, okay. Not much of an addition to say, okay, you're the little Z among the great Z. But nonetheless, this job is essential. If this job doesn't get done, it doesn't matter that Moshe delivered the Torah. It doesn't matter that Dod fulfilled it. Because no one capitalized upon it. So while he is the least impressive of the three Zoroah, it is a rather distinguished but short list, since it includes Moshe and Dod.
I mean, if you're next to them, you're doing pretty good.
even if you're the guy that is, you know, cleaning their sandals.
That's still
the right company to be in. And the fact of the matter is, this mission is exceedingly important to God.
Mm-hmm.
There was no value in rescuing Israelites from Mitzrayim to have them bellyache and be embittered and irascible if we don't do this job.
Right.
They all die estranged from Yahweh if we don't do this job. lived the most exemplary life in human history, the brightest, most articulate man in human history, and courageous and bold and compassionate to offer to serve as the Passover lamb and to fulfill matzah so that we might all benefit. And yet his sacrifices, his contribution to our well-being is for naught if there isn't a third Shiloah. So I get why Yahweh views this as important.
Mm-hmm.
It's all or nothing.
Yeah.
We all serve Yahweh. We all are devoted to awakening his people. We all do what we are called to do at the right time and in the correct way. And that is why there are hundreds and hundreds of references to this role found throughout the prophets, beginning with Moshe and continuing through Yoel. This is one of them. It begins, Miyada. Who reveals and acknowledges Yada? Who knows and understands? Who actually notices and demonstrably appreciates what Yada observes, perceives, and realizes? Was written in the call, participle, masculine, singular, absolute. He will alter the mindset to restore and return those who had withdrawn. Shub. He will continue to turn around and actually bring back those who had turned away. Call imperfect third person, masculine, singular. And he will enable reconsideration while reassuring those who are willing to change. Wanakam, at this moment, he will console and comfort those who relent as he is reassured when they cease what they have been doing. Nifl perfect, third person, masculine, singular. He will remain to ensure that a remnant is spared. Sha'ar. By engaging at this time, he will have assured that a portion of the whole is left, continuing to exist. Tiffle perfect, third person, masculine, singular. Mm-hmm. Akar. In the end, he will be a benefit, a blessing. He will be commendable and appreciated for having invoked that which is uplifting. Even a gift which is bestowed. A leader, of course, a prince, and that he serves the king. Installed, appointed, and positioned before Yahweh, your God.
Wow.
Yisrael, what I have just shared with you, and I'm going to read it again, is as powerful, as relevant, as beneficial, a prophetic message as has ever been offered to you. It is your God, Yahweh, who said, asking you, who reveals and acknowledges Yada? Who knows and understands? He will alter the mindset to restore and return those who were withdrawn. And he will enable reconsideration while reassuring those willing to change. He will remain to ensure that a remnant is spared in the end. He will be of benefit, a blessing, even a gift which is bestowed, a leader, a prince of sorts, installed, appointed, and positioned before Yahweh, your God.
Niyata means to ponder the implications of yada. That is the name that Yahweh has afforded me in this role that I am engaged in on his people's behalf. The name means to know, to notice, to be familiar with, to acknowledge, to perceive, to realize. Yahweh likes this name, Yada, because when it's placed before his name, it means to know Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
And it distinguishes the person he has tasked with this mission as someone who knows and understands, and then who acknowledges what he has come to know. And this is based on us thinking our way to God. It reaffirms the statement of what I have been saying all along and have emphasized throughout this program. Yisrael, Yehudim, Jews, Israelites, you need to change your mindset if you're going to be restored and returned into fellowship with God. And so he says, this individual, he, Yada, will alter the mindset to restore and return those who had been withdrawn. And so he will enable reconsideration while reassuring those willing to change. He will remain to ensure that a remnant is spared. Why? Because Shavuah is going to be a plentiful harvest. Teruah will be a productive gleaning. And the Kippurim homecoming will be a joyous celebration. So he will remain to ensure that a remnant is spared in the end. That is the mission. And God, who has witnessed the end, has said it will transpire exactly this way. We prevail, which means Yisrael prevailed, which means Yehudim prevailed, which means the covenant prevailed, which means father and son prevailed. And it is because Yada will be a benefit. You may not like my condemning of progressives and those who want big government, and we're now siding with Israel's enemies. You may not like the fact that I am as condemning of Judaism as I am of Christianity and of Islam. But that is for your benefit. And it is a blessing. We have Yahweh's word on it. This is a gift. When I wrote, spending another 8 months of my life exposing and condemning Islam on behalf of God's people, goddamn religion is a gift. Now as I'm nearing the completion of the rewrite of the 4 volumes of Christianity, exposing and condemning Christianity and its caustic effect on God's people, robbing them, really, of their Messiah and Savior, it is a gift. The 8 volumes of Yada Yada, walking you through from creation all the way through God's calendar with the celebration of the covenant and the 7 Moed Mikre in the middle, is a gift. An introduction to God even begins now by saying and explaining, why you? Why me? Observations and coming home all serve as a gift which Yahweh wanted bestowed. And the role of Masak, of this individual that has been appointed and positioned, is before Yahweh. Before Yahweh returns,
Yahweh isn't the kind of father that says, get behind me and grovel at my feet. We stand before him. We stand beside him. We stand with him. We go before him. That's what a father wants. That is what we are doing. We are preceding his return. We were appointed and positioned before Yahweh, your God, to do this. He will be a benefit. Pointed and positioned before Yahweh, your God.
Yisrael. In the context of inspiring his prophet to call his estranged family home after three millennia of living apart, this is an exceptionally poignant pronouncement. One, Yahweh was obviously expecting us to notice and to share at this time, at this moment. And so here we are, communicating with one another in this way, at this moment, for this result. For better, not worse, should that even be possible for Israel. I am Yana. For the first time in more than 2,000 years, I have come to know and to share Yahweh's name, the purpose of his Torah guidance, of his bereft covenant family, and his mikreh invitations to meet. I am the lone individual in all of that time to learn and then share that Dod is the Son of God, the returning Messiah, who as our Savior fulfilled Pesach, Matzah, and Bukurim as the ultimate Zeruah, sacrificial lamb and strong arm of God. I am the first to explain the conditions of the covenant and the intent of the invitations, how these things are related and mutually supportive. Recognizing that Yahweh invests as many words excoriating religion as he does promoting his intended relationship, because one is not possible without the other. Yahweh would be the only person in human history to write multiple volumes denouncing Judaism, in this case throughout the Babel books scribed in Babylon, Christianity through the four volumes of Christianity, and Islam throughout the five volumes of Goddamn Religion. No one in human history has done those things, while also extolling the benefits of the Torah, particularly in an introduction to God. He would uniquely awaken Yehudim through observations, and then call God's people home to the Coming Home series devoted to Dod and his Mizmor Psalms. So it would appear that Yahweh has fulfilled this prophecy and perhaps even exceeded expectations. Clearly, he is pleased with what his covenant family has delivered. Sure, he made it possible, but we were willing.
Great.
Therefore, the answer to the rhetorical question as to who reveals and acknowledges Yahweh, who knows and understands, is Yahweh, having done so for the benefit of his wayward children.
Yeah.
God wants his people to appreciate what Yahweh has observed and perceived by studying the prophets. And when this occurs, minds and attitudes change, making a return to God possible. But shuv, return, is a loaded concept. The heirs to the covenant are the only ones who can actually shuv, return, since no one else has been with Yahweh previously. Further, shuv affirms that Jews cannot come back to Yahweh in their present condition. Their mindset, their attitude, their approach to Yahweh and to life must change. They must recham, reconsider Yahweh's testimony, what he has offered, what he expects in return, to be reassured. And so for these reasons, Yada Sha'ar will remain. And he will ensure that a remnant of God's people are spared a car in the end. This is Yah's gift to Yisrael, one which is beneficial, commendable, and uplifting. I can only hope that you are appreciative of what Yahweh your God is offering. Of course, while I realize I'm not deserving to be placed in the gift category, and that Moshe and Dod were vastly more qualified, my guess is that they at times felt the same way. Nonetheless, Yahweh loves to share credit. He loves to acknowledge those who engage on his behalf. He had wonderful things to say about Abraham, about Yitzhak, about Jacob, about Pharaoh, about Noah.
Yeah.
He had wonderful, wonderful things to say about Samuel, about Caleb, about Yeshua, of course, about his chosen one, Dod. Yahweh is proud of his children, particularly when they engage and are about the family business. And so it is appropriate for the father to gloat when his children are doing something that is important, that makes a difference. And so we're going to accept his, what I think is a bit over the top, acknowledgement. But as a father, he's earned the right to make it. As a result of our collaborative effort, and it has been collaborative, not only with Yahweh, but as a family.
Yeah.
Yada Yahweh is today's so far. It is one drawing Yisrael's attention to the signs that have been posted along the way to Zion. Throughout its many pages, Yahweh's Moed Mikre, invitations to be called out and meet, are introduced and explained so that you can capitalize upon them. I'm going to share Yoel 2:15, but I think we've come to a perfect place to end tonight's program and anticipate our program a week from this evening.
Okay.
It says, sound the shofar. Sound the shofar in Zion, among the signs posted along the way. Choose to be set apart as special, dedicated to serve, consecrating a fast, a time of abstaining from what others are consuming. Choose to announce and welcome the invitation to an assembly to meet. The purpose of Yada, the gift that he is offering, is in sounding the shofar, represented now by Yada Yahweh, in Zion, which are those signs posted along the ridgeline of Moriah, of Moriah, between the city of Dod and where Dod's home was, and where the covenant family home will be restored. God is saying, choose to be set apart, to be special. Don't be common and progressive and religious or religious. Be special. Be set apart. Dedicated to serve. Time to start abstaining from what others are consuming. Once you become part of the family, choose to announce and to welcome the invitation to assemble and to meet, a time to refrain from what others are doing and restrain them while gathering together for this exceedingly important occasion. These invitations to meet are Shavuot and its fulfillment 7 years prior to Yahweh's return, and therefore May 22nd, 2026. The Teruah harvest, a gleaning of Yisraelites and Yehudim that will occur on September 25th of year 6000 Yah, 2033. 10 days later, the return of the Messiah, the Son of God, and Teruah, our Savior and King, Dod, who will be like God among us, along with Yahweh, his father. And so that we can then celebrate 1,000 years of meeting together, the Sukkah harvest of camping out with God, where all of earth is restored to the conditions experienced during Eden, the garden of great joy, as we celebrate our relationship with 1,000 years together, with Father and Son and all of God's children. May Yahweh bless. I look forward to being with you this time next week. Thank you, Dee, for all that you have and continue to do, for being part of this program. And we wish
thank you
all Yahweh's blessing. A happy Shabbat to one and all, and may Yisrael heed this message and come home. Good night. May God bless.
Beautiful. Good night.